بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. In the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most compassionate, the most merciful, all praise and thanks are due to him and peace and blessings be upon his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He who is guided by the will of Allah, no one can misguide him, and he who is misguided, no one can guide him except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I do bear witness that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma ij'al jam'ana hadha jam'an marhuma waj'al at-tafarruqa ba'dahu tafarruqan ma'suma. Allahumma wala tad' fina shaqiyya wala mahruma. Amin ya rabbal alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today inshallah will be our final session. This is the fourth session. In case if you are interested to know what has already happened the last three sessions, you can go to my Facebook page. The three sessions are there. The first one, the main title of this intensive four sessions basically was how to build strong and happy family. First session was introduction about the importance of or how in the mosaic of the beautiful picture of Islam, where can we puts the concept of marriage now, and the relation between a male and female, and the attraction between males and females, the relation of this concept with the concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he said to the malaika inni ja'alun fil ardi khalifa, and the concept of when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qal wasta'marakum fiha, the concept of development the earth, and the fact that we have to do the khilafa, which means every one of us will be preceded and exceeded by each other, taking care and developing the earth, and the relation of this concept with the reproduction of the human race on earth till Allah's will is completely, you know, finished. I mean, the end of this worldly life. This was the introduction. And we talked about the sexual need and the relation between sexual need and emotional need and the reproduction and the concept of family in general. This was the first session. You can find it on my Facebook page. Second session, we considered that this person, a man and a woman, they decided to marry. Now they are married. How they should be dealing with each other. And we picked and chose some most important and beautiful indications, lessons from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he used to deal with his wives, how his wives or some of his wives were dealing with him as a husband and wife under the umbrella of the great Islam. Third session, which was the last time, it was about, okay, those two married couples, basically, Allah blessed them by having children. So they have kids, they have boys and girls. How they should be dealing with them according to the Islamic teachings. So we picked and chose one of the most important things, and we highlighted, at least from my point of view, the most important thing to be careful how to hold responsibility. We connected that last time with the concept of dhulm from Hadith al-Muflis, the bankrupt, Tadruna min al-Muflis. We explained how I have to be make sure when I decide to get married that it's not a joke. There is happiness. I am supposed, I and my wife and I am, if I'm a wife and my husband, both do our best to be husband and wife in the hereafter, in the Jannah as well. We will be facing some obstacles, needs, problems, many things. We need to know that one of the most important thing when deciding to delve into the area of marriage is responsibility. I'm responsible now. There's a duty. It's not just, okay, I don't think so, I don't like, I don't want. No, I'm responsible now. Especially this is a message for men. And this is part of the meaning of the qiwama. Ar-rijalu qawwamuna ala nisa. Many Arabs, I can't talk about non-Arabs now because I'm not expert in their cultures, but the Arabic culture, they misunderstand the qiwama as a pure authoritarian dictatorship. Many of them, qalas, I am the boss and that's it. No. قوامة من قام على الشيء, which means to take care of it. قمت على يعني, maybe one of the good translation for قوامة, the caretaker. care, you are taking care. الراعي, اللي بيدير باله. The one who protects, the one who takes care with authority, but responsibility as well. So We talked about the amazing and horrible possible positive and negative nature of the responsibility, and we explained the concept of al-dhulm from the hadith of atadruna man al-muflis, and we highlighted how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to deal with his grandsons al-Hassan al-Hussein in some hadith, and we finished last time. Today will be our final session. It's like a four sessions, let's say, workshop, if I may put it in this way. Today I will be talking about birr al-walidayn. Now, I'm imagining, considering that this family has led to a result that we have now mature sons and daughters. We were talking about the man at the beginning, how he should be choosing his wife. A woman, how should she be accepting her possible husband. Then how they be dealing with each other. Then how to take care with kids. Now, the kids are grown up. So my message today is directed to those who were kids and we were taking care of them now. They became adults. They became mature. And maybe even if some from your faces, I can tell that I'm facing people around the age of 20, some of you around 30s, some of you around maybe 40s or 50s or more. Many of us still, even if you are married and you have kids, our parents still alive. So you will be addressed with the same message. Okay? معلش الله يجزيكم خير بعد سامحوني معلش جزاكم الله خير شكرا بارك الله فيكم ف احمد غلبك في مجال تجيب لي كاسه مي معلش اذا تكرمت جزاك الله خير ف today now forget ما كنت احكي يس You know, I'm a very visual person. When I'm disconnected, it's very difficult to bring back the full film, you know? Visually, and I recall information through images. When I'm stopped for what any reason, I lose the full film. So I need someone to bring it back. Anyway, so today, how or what does Islam say about the relation between the sons and daughters and their parents. I can claim with full trust, I believe actually, plus I can claim academically, as not just a Muslim, as an expert in comparative religions, as someone who has visited 280 cities on earth in 26 countries in 5 continents, and I met with people nearly from all different sects and religions on earth, I can tell, and I'm proud to say, that there is no sect, no religion, no group on earth, they have something. They have a system, amazing system, to respect the parents like what Muslims have. Look now, and by the way, this is a claim, okay? Let me prove it to you now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, or before I say in the Quran, you know, as Muslims, that the most and highly wanted thing in Islam basically is ibadatullah. The highly thing, basically the aim. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Is it a negotiable point in Islam? That worshipping God with the full meaning of worship, full submission, is the ultimate aim for us in this world of life. Am I exaggerating or this is clearly indicated in the Quran? It's not me. It's the Quranic verse. Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا This is hasr. I've not created the human beings and the jinn, but to worship me. God is saying, with the general, Jazakallah khair, thank you very much. With the general meaning of worship. Yet, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to talk about parents in specific, look how he connected respecting, taking care, loving parents with the worship. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا Now, by the way, how many of you, they don't understand Arabic now, or non-Arabs? Please raise up your hand. At least 60%. طيب. I need to make it simple. In Arabic, you know, all languages, we have what we call the prepositions, حروف, الوصل حروف الجر. Okay, now we have the wow, like in English, for in English, in English, in English, for example, you say, for example, the translation, we can say Allah waqada rabbuka. Allah has ordained, Allah has decided, Allah has commanded and ordained upon us that not to worship anything but him and to be in the highest level of kindness with your parents. Now in English we say just and. In Arabic we have, you know, Arabic one of, it's not one of, it's the richest language of the languages on earth. For those who are expert in language, you know what I'm talking about. Now in Arabic we can say in the Quran, if the Quran says wabil walidayni ihsana, it does differ from if the Quran says thumma bil walidayni ihsana. And both of them harf atf, which means a preposition to connect two words together. Okay? Now, if Allah said وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا ثُمَّ بِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, which is correct linguistically, which will mean that Allah is ثُمَّ تَرْبُط وَتُفِيدُ الرُّتْبَةِ عَلَى التَّرَاخِي, which means Allah is commanding you not to worship but him, then think about your parents. The letter wow in Arabic قال يفيد مطلق الجمع, which means مطلق الجمع. The wow in Arabic, it tells you that the two things that the wow has connected together are as if they are one package. You know, this is مطلق الجمع, they are one. You know what this means, that they are one? As if Allah is telling you the following, that Allah is commanding you not to worship anything but him, and the level of respecting your parents is in the level of worshiping him. Which is amazing. You know what this means? Allah is telling us, look, my servants, if you want to satisfy me, you have to know that the priority for me after worshiping me is your parents. This is the end, the result of the message. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Keep it in your mind now. Look to the other side amazingly. I'm proving what I have claimed. Second message. What is the highly rejected thing in Islam? Shirk. Jazakallah khair. The evidence. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا Allah يفتح عليك. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Committing shirk. Shirk is a term. Literally means association. As a terminology, association, أي to associate, أن تشرك شيئا مع الله في عبادته, شيئا, شخصا, حزبا, مجموعة, whatever. If you associate anything, if you associate means you put something with God with the same value, with the same level, you are committing Islamic, in Islamic terminology, shirk, which is the highest disaster, highest rejected thing in Islam, and it causes you to leave the fold of religion. You will be an unbeliever. Are you with me? You know this verse? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, God does not forgive anyone who commits shirk. Of course, if he passed away as a mushrik, if he repented after that, everything is finished. لا يغفر. It's impossible. Anything else is entitled to be forgiven, except this, which means we are talking about the highly rejected thing in Islam. When the highly rejected thing in Islam is mentioned in the Quran with regard to the relation of parents, Allah gave exception. Amazingly. قال وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ just فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا commandment وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Wow. Wow. Logically now. Look to me. Please, by the way, please try to focus on what I'm saying. In case if you felt you need to listen again to this, it will be, inshallah, on my Facebook. Go and listen again. Put notes. When you speak with your colleagues, your friends, your relatives, And if you have colleagues from non-Muslims, tell them about that. Let them know about this, because I believe, from my experience, 99.99999% of people on earth, they need this direction. By the way, this is from Allah to human beings, not for Arabs. It's not for just Muslims. Every single person on earth, wallahi. You know, unless the Islamophobia, unless the bad media, they are trying to destroy the image of Islam, I believe maybe any parents on earth from different cultures, if they understood what I'm talking about, they would love their kids to be Muslims. Because, wow, you know, divine commandment for them to respect me, even if, let me explain the verse now. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Allah is telling us, in case if your both parents, your father and mother, both of them, they were mushrikeen, they were associators, they were infidels, they were disbelievers. It's not just by themselves they are non-believers, but they did mujahada. You know, عَلَىٰ وَزِنْ فَاعَلَىٰ in Arabic, جَاهَدَاكَ. Jahadaka in Arabic, they were struggling, doing their best continuously 24/7 to let you be an unbeliever and to leave your faith and to be a mushrik like them. It's not just they were non-believers and they were sitting in the corner, which is a status. Okay, I feel bad because they are not believers, but at least they are there and I'm here. No. They say Jahadaka. Jahadaka, they were doing their best from al-mujahada. وَبَذْلُ الْمُجَاهَدَ in Arabic, بَذْلُ الْوُسْعِ وَالطَّاقَ بِأَقْصَى دَرَجَةً. Which means they have done, they were doing their best to their ultimate power to make you mushrik like them. Attacking you, making fun of you, anything bad. جَاهَدَكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي. Something that you don't know, which means it's unacceptable. Now, yet, Allah did not say, just don't listen to them or be very tough with them. No. Even though in theory, they might deserve at least to say, this is wrong, I will not speak with you, disconnect your relation with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تُطَعْهُمَا. Don't listen to them in what they are calling you for. Now, the amazing thing, amazing part, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. I'm commanding you to be kind with them with the best manner that you can do. Just from these two verses, which is وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ, we can conclude a golden rule. Parents have a sacred status in Islam. Amazingly. طب, doctor, please, does this mean they don't make mistakes? I'm not saying this. طب, what if they made mistakes? Do I have the right to spit in their faces? Definitely no. طب, they are very tough with me. Okay, they are sinful people. Allah will put them the accountability. You have no right to be bad with them. La ilaha illallah. They are provoking me. They are very tough with me. You have no right to reply unless with a good manner. But they are bad. I know they are sinful and God will punish them. But you as a person, you have no right to punish them with your hand or with your tongue or with yourself. Anyone else, you are allowed. Yani, by the way, in Islam, if someone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَمَنْ اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاَعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهُ الْجَهْرَ بِالسُّوءِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمْ. Allah does not like anyone to say bad words or something, you know, tough or bad. Unless if someone is oppressing you and you want to reply back because he's attacking you, you have the right. In case if you want to use your right, reply back, attack back. Take your right in Islam. Al-aynu bil-ayn wa sinnu bil-sin. The exception is just for parents. The exception does not mean they are not making mistakes. It means even if they make mistakes, Allah will punish them, not you. Others, you can have the right to punish or to go to the court or to do whatever. Anything that is allowed that you can do it with others. Parents, they have exceptional case. So from here we start. If you want to be a Muslim, if really you want to practice Islam, and let me remind myself before I remind you, the core meaning of Islam, basically, the translation of Islam, Islam from, by the way, the word Islam, it goes back to more than one root verbs or radicals, usul, masdar. Silm, taslim. Silm means peace, Taslim means submission. So Islam by default means you have to submit yourself to your Lord so that you will achieve peace. Submission, Taslim. طب يا الله, I don't like my father. Even if you don't like him, you have to respect him. طب, is it true in our life that we do love everyone we respect? Forget the parents now. Do we love everyone we respect? Or sometimes we have to respect some people even though we hate them. Your boss at the job, for example. The principal or the director of your school. The landlord of your house. The one who's in charge of your business. Is it true that we always love anyone we respect? Or in many cases, wallahi, we are like soldiers. Yes, sir. Nice, sir. Hi, sir. Thank you, sir. And from inside, I hate him. Does it happen with us in many cases or not, as a human being? Does it happen? I'm just replying to some doubts to some of us. But you know, okay. Because for many cases, we say in Arabic, we have maslaha sometimes, okay? Which means, I mean, be careful. Sometimes you do control yourself because you are afraid of losing your salary. For example, your boss is a very tough person. Is it possible? Girl, is it possible? In many cases. The one who's, you know, in charge of you, in many cases, he might be like a dictator, like Pharaoh. And you know that. He knows, but he's using his authority against you. Maybe he's insulting you, and you keep silent because you are afraid to lose your salary. Why I do control myself? You know, I have a family, Sheikh, and I want to pay the rent of the house. And okay. If your father is tough or your mother is tough, okay. You have a hereafter, you have a hellfire is waiting for you. Please take care of him for the sake of Allah. The same thing. If you do it for the salary, do this to avoid the hellfire. Allah is commanding you to be kind of them, even if they are tough. Does this mean, I'm trying to solve the possible questions now. Type, does this mean I'm not allowed to discuss with my parents? No. You have the full right to discuss. No problem to tell them that they are making mistakes, but in a polite way. What is prohibited to be tough or to hurt or to do anything bad with them. Let's imagine the following scenario. God forbid, if your father or my father is drinking alcohol, he's committing what now? A major sin in Islam. Is it haram to tell him that please try to leave the alcohol? Is it haram to talk with him? No. I think it's wajib to remind him, but don't use the way that you use it with your friend at school, for example. Maybe at school, you have a close friend, he started doing something bad. Maybe you come to him, you hit him like this. You say, you have to talk to Allah, for example. Okay? Hey, just leave it. Maybe you will joke with him, maybe you will hit him. This is not your father. You have to listen to your father. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ya Abati, he was begging him. Can I tawassal ilayhi? Ya Abati, I beg you to do so, please. A full right, my dear father, please, you know, you are the reason for my existence. And I have to be very nice and very kind. But wallahi, my dear father, I'm afraid. I'm afraid if you passed away doing this, I wish to go to the Jannah, but I wish more to see you with me in the Jannah. Please, no problem, do it every day. But don't be rude. Don't come to tell him because you are practicing Muslim and he's dealing with riba. Is it possible your father is dealing with riba? Yes, definitely. Maybe. Is it possible that you are a practicing Muslim and your mother does not wear the hijab? Yes, possible. Is it possible? Yes. All of it is possible. You are human beings. How to approach them the highest, best way? Allah says, Ihsana ma'rufa. Highest kindness ever that you can do with your parents. Argue, thank them, don't be tough with them. So from this, we start the core point of how Islam looks to the concept of parentship, the parents, how to be respected by their kids. Type. Now, I will go to the hadith now. This is the two verses. And by the way, just on what I have highlighted, is there any question here? Just ask me about what I said. Yes. طبعا جزاك الله خير. The brother, he's asking about the concept of ihsan. It's هذه من ال سموها من الكلمات الجامعة أو المعاني الجامعة التي تضم كل معاني الخير. Like the word بر, for example. When Allah سبحانه وتعالى said, لا ينهاكم الله اللهم صل على محمد عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم. كلمة بر, كلمة إحسان تسمى بالمعنى العام من كلمات المعاني الخير الجامعة. One of the indications, sorry, I spoke in Arabic, I forgot. He's asking me about the meaning of إحسان. I'm telling him إحسان and بر and such words, they are called from the collective words that contains all meanings of خير and the highest level of goodness. Okay? Like, for example, now, one of the things that we need to understand about the concept of إحسان, which is a huge meaning, but one of the definitions, as I told you, it's a kalima jami'a, it's a word that contains ma'ani al-khayr, all the goodness things that you can ever imagine. For example, from the ihsan to be kind, from the ihsan to fulfillment, wafa, from the ihsan forgiveness, to forgive, from the ihsan to accept, for example, an apology, from the ihsan to close your eyes on the small mistakes, from the ihsan to act as if you don't know silly things, from the ihsan, kalima jami'a. So the highest level. Now ihsan is connected with the very famous hadith that you know, when the very famous hadith of Umar al-Khattab, قال هذا جبريل أتاكم معلمكم أمر دينكم. You know, Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, once he was staying, a Sahabi or a man, actually it was جبريل عليه السلام in a form of a Sahabi, came to Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. He asked him questions. He asked him about أخبرني عن الإيمان, أخبرني عن الإسلام, أخبرني عن الإحسان. He was asking him, and Prophet Muhammad, he was replying. The Sahaba, they said, جاءنا رجل شديد السواد الشعر شديد بياض الثياب لا يرى عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد. He was a stranger yet with very clean clothes and he was an unknown person. He asked him about إيمان, إسلام and إحسان. When he asked him about إحسان, he said, قال أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. When he gave one of the famous definition of إحسان, he said to worship Allah as if you are literally observing or seeing him literally or physically, as if. But the fact that you don't see him, be aware that he sees you and observes you. So one of the meanings of إحسان, to act, to be in a status that you know that in every single second Allah is observing you. Which means when you want to deal with now with your parents, you want to do whatever. Wait, Allah is okay. So be in the highest and the best level of politeness. Clear? Jazakallah khair. By the way, if it happened that I said something in Arabic, I did not or forgot to translate it into English, please. Arabs, just raise up your hand and tell me. Because sometimes, you know, I'm using the two languages, I forget. Sometimes they are mixed in my mind. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد. Any other question? And thank you for your question. Sure. ما فهمت السؤال. كيف يعني؟ ممكن. Why not? الإحسان جزء من المعروف؟ لا. الإحسان والله أعلم هو أعلى. أعلى. نعم. وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفة. ماشي. برضو المعروف كلمة جامعة, يعني تعامل معهم بما عرف وعهد من معاني الخير. الإحسان أعلى. لاحظ. عفوا. Okay, I have to explain it in Arabic, then I will come to English. Now, الإحسان جاءت في سياق موضوع التفخيم والمكانة والهيبة اللي هو قضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبوالدين إحسانا. مقام إيجابي الآن, مقام إرشادي, مقام تأسيسي. ماشي. لما جينا عند هناك أعطاك الحد الممنوع تنزل عنه, المعروف, مش الأعلى. هذاك الإحسان أعلى بكثير. زي مشان أوصل لك الفكرة الآن, مثلا لما يقولوا من إحدى تعريفات الفقه الإسلامي, إحدى تعريفات الفقه الإسلامي أنه الحد الأدنى من الأخلاق. معي أنت؟ الأخلاق وين؟ هسا الأخلاق الأعلى الأعلى الأعلى
انك اذا اختلفت انت وزوجتك مش تعطيها بس المقدم والمؤخر وتعطيها هديه وتستر على كل اخطائها اذا قررتوا تطلقوا، هذا الاعلى. طيب اختلفتوا وانت متضايق وهي متضايقه، بالفقه الاسلامي لك حق وعليك حق، واذا كنتم موقعين انه ما لها غير 10% حقك ومش حرام. هذا ايش الحد الادنى من الاخلاق؟ شو هو؟ الفقه الاسلامي. بس احنا نطالب بالحد الاعلى، فاذا حصلنا بينهما فبها ونعمت، والله اعلم. طيب واياكم ان شاء الله باذن الله. طبعا سوري فذيس از ها نعم الله يجزيك الخير. فطبعا هذا الاعلى. بس in case the disputes and God forbid the hatred between the husband and wife it was in the highest level and everyone feels that I am the one who has been hurted وأنا مظلوم I am oppressed and sometimes I want to take my right خلاص I don't want to forgive I can, by the way they are not doing haram. It's their rights but their rights in Islamic fiqh is the minimum which below this we started to be in something outside Islam. آه طبعاً ندخل في الظلم الآن. اللي هو شو اللي بيحفظه هذا؟ الفقه الإسلامي، الأحكام الشرعية، حرام، واجب، مكروه، إلى آخره، هذا المينيمم. طيب البتر ندخل في طبقات الآن وطبقات أخرى. الهايست الإحسان. Yes. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look now. If there is a serious problem, ma'rufa. Al-ma'rufa talk to you about normally, what we think that this is good. You are not doing bad. But sometimes there is a big difference between being good and being the best of the whole family to your parents. Yeah, I will give you an example. Let me give you a practical example about the difference between ma'ruf and ihsan, practically. Now, many of you, by the way, how many of you, they have kids? Raise up your hands. Even if just one top. Takriban 50%. Good. 50%, they will be aware, and the rest, at least they can see, they make analogy, qiyas, from what they see in their families. Now, it happens, especially with mothers, who have, for example, 3 or 4 or 5 kids, males and females. Now, when they ask, let's imagine that they raised up their kids in a very good manner. So all of them, they respect their parents. When they are asked about anything, they reply. Any need, they fulfill. Any problem, they stop. Any commandment, they respect. But sometimes one of them, always, he has special initiatives, mubadarat. Without asking him, come, mommy, do you need anything? But I did not ask you about anything. Okay, but do you need anything? No, I don't need. طيب, mommy, I feel as if you are not right. Do you have a headache? لا, حبيبي, no, I don't have a headache. طيب, is there anything bothers you? No. Imagine this son or daughter always forwards 2 steps from others. He's not just responding and replying and fulfilling. No. Always doing extra. Do you think, ask all mothers, which one will be the most beloved for them? This person. Now he's doing ihsan. Now the system is not asking him to do so. The society, they are not asking him. The law is not forcing him. But he's doing extra. But what if, for whatever reason, he was doing the good like others? No problem. But he decided to lose the highest status. It's like, now, when we pass our exams by 50, now, if you achieved 50, you are passed. 51, passed. 60, passed. The same term. 65, same. Passed. 90, passed. 95, passed. 99, passed. But practically, what is the value of 51 compared with 99? You and me, if I achieve 51, now, practically, technically, I am graduated and I have a certificate passed. You have certificate like me passed with the average of 99. The real value, which one of us will be honored and the TV will come and make interviews with him, me or you? 99, 51. Passed. I'm not failed, but no way to be compared with you. Okay? So this is some of the practical differences between ma'ruf and ihsan. Minimum, well, high. By the way, if all of us, we decide, but let me advise you. And this is like a personal advice. I started practicing Islam in 1982, 37 years ago. What?
معقول؟
هذا بلد ثانية صح؟ آه. لخمتني خوفتني الله يجزيك الخير نسيت سم بحكي Okay, 37 years. When I decided, I was in my finished 9th grade, approaching my 10th grade. Like many people who use non-practicing Muslims and decide to practice, they will face obstacles in their faces. I was not taking care of the prayer. You know, I have a problem of going to the parties, mixed parties. I don't pray on time, blah, blah. One of the biggest problems in my life at that time that I was a very, very rude, tough, nervous person with my mother specifically. Was a very difficult person. You know, I mean, my ability when I was a kid, the way of argumentation that I used to make the life of my mother hell. She never ever was able to win an argument with me. Even when I was maybe 7 or 8 years, always, she would always say, حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل, يا أبو لسان, كانت تسميني أبو لسان. يا أبو لسان, untranslatable هذا. I remember really that I used to be whatever she asked me when I was in the age of 12, 13, 14, 15, before I changed the complete my life. I used to be very nervous. I say, يعني ما في حدا غيري تطلب منه الله أكبر فيش حدا بالبيت غيري. Always I used to like a popcorn, you know popcorn? Like this. My methodology with my mother, a popcorn. Always I explode in her face. In the same time, I remember myself that really all the time I was not feeling happy. All the time there is something very bad in my heart. I was not enjoying my life. Wallahi. Wallahi. I swear by Allah. When I decided to practice Islam, the biggest challenge was in front of my face how to control my nervous, my character with my mother. Uqassaman billah, when I was able to control myself and I started being nice with my mother, with the highest level, even I reached to a level, even if she was the one who started the problem with me, or she was tough with me without reason and was innocent, for example, I trained myself to a degree. If it was her fault, I used to apologize from her. At that time, by Allah, I started to live and to feel the beauty of faith. Qasaman billah. Halawat al-Iman. I started to have it when I fixed my relation with my mother, when she started to make dua for me. Everything was changed in my life. Believe it or not. Literally. Wallahi. When my mother started making dua for me and I decided to change myself with her, it was my fault, not hers. I was the bad person, not her. May Allah be with her. We are seven brothers and sisters. And my father used to travel a lot. He was a truck driver, you know, international. He used to leave the country average. He used to set 3 days out of every 40 days. So basically, my mother was the mother and the father and the grandfather and the girl, everything. Because no family members except her. So we are seven. So definitely she will be nervous. But I was a very tough person with her. My point. When I changed, when I decided to change for the sake of Allah, wallahi, as if there's like a gate in the heavens opened and the blessing started to come on me physically, literally. My life was changed completely. You know, the happiness, easiness, tawfiq, success, guidance in everything in my life. Everything. I can't remember anything, but Allah was helping me amazingly. I was touched, you know, it was as if it's a tangible asset. It, just you touch it by your hand. When I fixed my relation with my mother, especially the mother, by the way, you know, most of us, especially the males, we are always afraid from our fathers because they can hit us. They can stop giving us the keys of the cars, for example. Okay, yes, I mean, we are afraid from the male figure at house. The oppressed element always, the mother, الحنون الطيب المسكين, okay? Because she cries always, and you can, as we say, you can really cheat her as well. يعني, you can make her cry easily. So, subhanAllah, the mother has something special. But anyway, I'm just from my personal experience, I have to admit, and I mention it in the context of وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. I have to talk about the blessing of Allah. I'm trying to imagine myself, if I did not take the decision that time, I might be one of the biggest criminals on earth now. It started with the moment that I fixed my relation with my mother. But please, please, if someone of you, regardless of your age, by the way, I'm not necessarily addressing the youth. No, no, no. Maybe you are in 30s or 40s or 50s, but you have a bad relation with your parents for whatever reason. So please, no, it's not late to fix the relation. No problem at all. طيب, JazakAllah khair for your questions. Now, let's go to very famous two hadiths. Inshallah, most probably, we will be approaching the end, inshallah, of the session. One of the Sahaba, one of the companions, came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, this is a very famous one. Actually, in the Arab countries, they teach us this hadith that I will be highlighting now at schools. A companion came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَنْ أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ بِحُسْنِ صَحَابَتِي قَالَ أُمُّكَ قَالَ ثُمَّ مَنْ قَالَ أُمُّكَ قَالَ ثُمَّ مَنْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ أُمُّكَ قَالَ ثُمَّ مَنْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ four times قَالَ أَبُوكَ. This hadith contains a very, very important meaning. Sahabi came to, he said, I will make it simple in my language. He said, مَنْ أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ بِحُسْنِ صَحَابَتِي. The meaning, the core meaning of مَنْ أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ بِحُسْنِ صَحَابَتِي, it's as if in our language, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, in case if I have a time and I want to spend this time with someone, taking care of him, okay, giving him support, giving him the priority in my life. I have two space in my life on daily basis, on weekly basis. Who has the priority in my life to take this space in terms of, you know, allocating this space for him? He said, your mother. Okay, Ya Rasulullah, who's next? He said, your mother. He said, okay, Ya Rasulullah, who's next? He said, your mother. Ya Rasulullah, tab, who's next? Your father. Which means, as if Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, you have to give 75% of priorities to your mother, 25% to your father. Don't misunderstand Islam. This does not mean just respect 75%. He was not talking about respect now. قَالْ مَنْ أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ بِحُسْنِ صَحَابَتِي. Now, by the way, this could be one of the amazing i'jaz of the prophetic hadith. It has to do with education, and it has to do with psychology, and it has to do with sociology. Practically, we see that most of us, we can't remember and we do not witness the horrible time that mothers face when they, before giving birth of us. Is there anyone who remembers what happened with his mother when he was pregnant with him? Do we remember? Do we? I'm asking. It's impossible. No, it's impossible. We don't know anything, Aslan. So, the mother, you know, holds us in their wombs for 9 months. 9 months. Just the time one of the Sahaba, when he said it came to one of the Sahaba, it's not a hadith that I will say now. One of the Muslims came to one of the Sahaba at the time of the Hajj. Qala ya fulan, I forget Umar ibn Khattab or Ibn Umar, one of the Sahaba, it's not the Prophet. He said, Hajajtu bi ummi ala katifi min al Yaman, wa tuftu biha wa sa'aytu, afa akunu qad addaytaha haqqa, qal wala talaqa wahida min talaqatiha. He said, ya fulan, let's say for example, Umar ibn Khattab or Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar, one of them. He said, I was holding, carrying my mother on my shoulders from Yemen. You know, from Yemen to Mecca, if I'm not mistaken, either 3 or 4 or 5,000 kilometers on my shoulders, holding her, and I came to the pilgrimage to Hajj, and I did the tawaf and the sa'i and everything, everything. He said, by this, am I considered someone who has repaid what she did for me? He said, not even a moment of pain of labor. You know the time of labor? You know, men, they don't know that. It's impossible. You don't know. Just women, they know it. Which is, قال ولا طلقة. طلقة means it's the pain that the mothers, they face when giving birth. The labor time, they call it. It could take 4 hours, huh?
Contraction.
Contraction. اللي لحظات الوجع. Contraction. The contraction time. And labor time بيسموه كمان. وقت ال. Okay, jazakallah khair. So the labor time sometimes could take 4 hours, maybe 8 hours, sometimes 16 hours, sometimes 2 days, but maybe the average few hours, the average. But the contraction time, it could take a few seconds, but it's equal maybe to death. Now the Sahabi is replying to this man. He said, by what you have done, you have not repaid more than even one contraction time at the labor time. Which means, yummy, forget it. Close the file. Don't try to. You can't repay. You can't. Fa, know your place. اعرف مكانك. Don't think that by doing simple things you have repaid. No. It's just Allah can give her the ajr. And you are a servant of Allah. Do your best with her as your mother. Fa, my point. قال, when he said, من أحق الناس بحسن صحابتي. As if one of the scholars was saying, why Islam insisted to pay the attention to importance of the mother, because most of what they have done and they are doing cannot be witnessed, and we don't remember it. By the way, most of us, our memories start, I think, around the age of 4. More or less, 3.5. Most of us, do you remember anything at the age of 1? 2? You can't, unless if they tell you. No. Don't say like this. They show you photos and videos you remember from them, but your memory, you can't. It's impossible. Most of us, around 3.5, 4, 5, and above. My point, after that, we start to be a little bit, mature, we have power, something. Now, when we become very powerful, now, 80, 90, 70% of what have been done for us is completely deleted from the memory, asalata, from the very beginning. So now, our basic need, not for mothers, for fathers now, power, money, authority. So we will respect them. But the weak point, which is the mothers, they could be forgiven. To rebalance the true value, Islam came and pushed 3 times that to rebalance the relationship. Because most of what mothers have done are completely forgotten and deleted. So by say, ummuk, thumma ummuk, thumma ummuk, it's to have the balance. Both of them like each other, but you don't value what they have done because you don't know. So Islam came to fill the gap. Wallahu alam. It's one of the interpretations why ummuk thumma ummuk, which does make sense with the common sense and what we witness as well. Yes, we see this in our lives. Wallahu alam. Fa qal man ahaqqu an-nas three times. This is another indication how Islam is asking us to deal with our parents. Now, the last hadith or the one, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad. Yes, the last one. This is, subhanAllah, another famous hadith. It happened by the coincidence of Allah. Just 2 days ago, I gave a lesson about this in the Masjid al-Dar. The hadith, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصعد درجات المنبر. قال فسمعه الصحابة. I will say it completely in Arabic, then I will translate it into English. قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصعد درجات المنبر. فسمعه الصحابة يقول آمين, آمين, آمين 3 مرات. فلما انتهى من الصلاة قالوا يا رسول الله سمعناك تؤمن فعلام كنت تؤمن قال جاءني جبريل. طبعا كلمة آمين باللغة العربية معناها اللهم استجب, يعني لما شخص يقول شيء وتقول آمين ترجمة آمين بالعربي اللهم استجب, ولا تقال إلا ردا على شيء قد قيل. فإذا قال أحدهم آمين by default لازم أحد قبله قد قال شيئا. Okay, I'll translate in English. فقال جاءني جبريل وأنا صاعد المنبرة. قال يا محمد. طبعا في أكثر من رواية. واحدة من الروايات رغم أنف امرئ أو خاب وخسر أو تعس وخسر رغم أنف امرئ أدرك رمضان فلم يغفر له فقلت آمين. رغم أنف امرئ أو خاب وخسر من أدرك أبويه أو أحدهما فلم يغفر له فقلت آمين. خاب وخسر أو رغم أنف امرئ ذكرت عنده يا محمد فلم يصلي عليك فقلت آمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد. The translation of the hadith, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, he was approaching the minbar to give the Friday khutbah. So the Sahaba, they heard him saying Ameen, Ameen, Ameen three times. The meaning of Ameen in Arabic is, oh Allah, please respond to my prayer. So, and it is said always as a respond to something that has been already said before it. So anyone says Ameen, by default, someone else should have said something before. So when you hear someone says Ameen, you have to expect طيب, Ameen on what? No one. So they heard Prophet Muhammad saying Ameen three times and no one was saying anything. طب, Ameen ya Rasulullah for what? So it was in their mind when he finished the khutbah, they came to him say, Ya Rasulullah, we heard you saying Ameen three times. فَعَلَامَ كُنْتَ تُؤَمَّمْ. On what thing you were saying Ameen? No one was talking with you. He said, actually, Jibreel alayhi salam came to me. And you know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah gave him the ability to see the angels and on top of them, Jibreel alayhi salam, as a prophet, as a messenger. We can't, but Prophet Muhammad was given this ability. So, قَالْ جَاءَنِي Jibreel. Jibreel came to me while I was putting the steps on the minbar, on the stairs of the minbar. He said, يَا مُحَمَّدْ رَغِمَ أَنْفُ بْرَيْنْ أُرْ خَابَ وَخَسِرَ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ رَمَضَانَ فَرَغُمَ يَرَهُ. He is the loser, the one whom Allah enabled him to witness the month of Ramadan and he did not take it, the opportunity to guarantee forgiveness. فَقُلْتُ آمين. Which means, you are a real loser if you do not make benefit of the fact that Allah enabled you to witness Ramadan. Then he said, ثم قال يا محمد رغم أنف امرئ أو خاب وخسر من أدرك. This is our point. He is the loser whom was enabled to witness the life of his parents or one of them أو أحدهما فلم يغفر له. He is the loser, the one whom was enabled to witness the life of his parents or one of them and he did not take this golden opportunity to guarantee the full forgiveness. As if in my language, the fact that Allah has enabled you to be alive in the life of your parents or one of them, anything you do of them is a guarantee to go to Jannah. The fact that you ignored this, or God forbid, you did the opposite of this, you disrespected them, you have lost one of the guaranteed like cards to go to the paradise. فَخَابَ وَخَسِرْ. He is the loser. Wow to him. The third one, خَابَ وَخَسِرَ يَا مُحَمَّدْ مَنْ ذُكِرْتَ عِنْدَهُ فَلَمْ يُصَلِّ عَلَيْكَ. He is the loser, the one whom you've been mentioned in front of him, يَا مُحَمَّدْ, and he did not say, اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى سَيِّدْنَا مُحَمَّدْ. فَقَالَ اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى سَيِّدْنَا مُحَمَّدْ. Okay? So now, what is the point in this hadith? خَابَ وَخَسِرَ مَنْ أَدْرَكَ أَبَوَيْهِ أَوْ أَحَدَهُمَا فَلَمْ يُغْفَرْ لَهُ. He is the loser. Which means, the conclusion, and in a few minutes I will finish inshallah, unless if you have questions. The fact that Allah is blessing us by the fact that you have a father or a mother while you are alive and they are alive, it's a golden opportunity to take care of them, to respect them. Because at the end, by the way, it's not just ethically to fulfill or to repay back what they have done for you. No. We have something beyond that and much more important than that. This is by default should be done in Islam. It's because Allah is commanding you and this is something pleases your Lord. And you are someone who's enjoying a lot of blessings. And Allah is commanding you, if you love me, if you want to respect me, I am the one who gave you everything you are enjoying. As someone who's the source of everything you have, I'm asking you, I'm telling you that what pleases me the most to be kind with your parents. So this is the ultimate for us. It's not just... Our point is not just whether my father deserves or does not deserve. No. It's because Allah is commanding me. And by the way, this is much more higher than the fact of, because what if my father was bad? What if my father was, for example, addict on alcohol, and he did not take care of me? Still, I am commanded by Allah to take care of him. But if my mother did not take care, still I have to take care of her. By this, will be, inshallah, bi-ithnillah, the conclusion. The title was, how to build strong the happy family in Islam. Starting from how to choose your spouse, ending by how to take with your care of your parents. The one who take this package from A to Z in a complete package under the umbrella of believing in Allah, respecting Allah, for the sake of Allah, definitely he will be achieving the best happiness in this world of life and in the hereafter, inshallah. Now, for me, I have finished. If you do not have a question, I will stop till the Isha. If you have a question, I will keep replying. Questions till... And I forgot to ask the sisters if you have questions. And I'm sorry, I hope none of you has raised her hand just a few minutes ago. I did not pay attention. I'm sorry. Do you have any questions? Priority for you now. Yes, sister. Can you speak loudly? Sister, I can't hear you. Yes, please, if you please, yeah. Yeah. Ah, is it written? Okay, thank you. Jazakallah khairan. What is your message for children who contribute?